2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey there, everybody. T Boone Pickens here. I want to be the first to congratulate you,
Brigham Young University,
on your new adventure into the Big 12 Conference and say welcome. We've always respected the
Cougars
and what
BYU
stands for. We can't wait to welcome you here to Stillwater, Oklahoma. Southern hospitality at its finest awaits you when you visit here. Boy, that group of
Cougarettes
you have there sure is mighty talented. And we'll bring the barbecue as long as you bring some of your famous
funeral potatoes and cougar tail donuts.
Boy, my mouth is watering just thinking about it. Anywho, we're looking forward to many years of
Cougars
and Cowboy rivalries in the years to come. See you in Stillwater this
November 25th.
And go Cowboys.
Wow, isn't it amazing how technology works? JJ just... resurrecting the dead over here. They knew. The thing is they knew T-Boone didn't know who they're going to invite. He just said, look, I know you're going to use this in the future. Just I'll record a welcome to whomever it might be. I'll just, you guys fill in the blanks. Worked
it's
out.
It's like the old Dana Carvey skit when he's Tom Brokaw and he wants to go on vacation.
Attacked so by a pack of wolves.
Charles Farn. Down today at the age of 82.
That is a fantastic
eaten by a pack of wolves.
Dana Carvey doing
Tom Brokaw.
Tom Brokaw.
Oh, yeah. No, that was great, though. Rest in peace, T-Boone Pickens.
Yeah.
Listen. From the crypt.
Rest in peace, Dana Carvey? No, he's still
alive. Still
alive. Oh, no, Dana's still with us.
I know he is.
Tom Brokaw's definitely dead, though.
Is he?
Brokaw's still with us, too.
No, he's still around.
I'm just killing people off.
Speaking of not around, the Shirley died. Of Laverne and Shirley.
She did? I know. That's right.
That was sad.
Yeah. I think we all know that she was the lesser of the two, though, right?
Oh. Well, as far as... Well, Laverne was the first name.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
She was the less obnoxious one.
Yes, that's true. Oh, my goodness. No, it was Barbara Walters. She was in that category. She passed away recently.
Barbara Walters.
Wawa. Hey, Jeremiah, some stuff happened today.
Yeah, it's been a day. It's been a little busy.
JJ's joining us, and our show is always brought to you by G2G Bars and also Trajan Wealth this hour. Call today for your local trusted financial fiduciaries to give you that tip on how to retire. 801-899-7600 or TrajanWealth.com. Well, I don't know. Let's start first with your Broncos, just because we've been talking so much about the we've been front-end loaded with the Big 12 schedule, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But Sean Payton reportedly going to be signed up with the Broncos. Is it weird that it feels like he's almost like the third option at this point? Because they were really trying to run down D'Amico Ryans, who ended up at the Texans. And obviously, they took a couple runs at Jim Harbaugh, it sounds like. And then Sean Payton goes there for a couple of picks. Do you feel like this is a good deal? I feel like this is a massive day for Broncos fans.
I think this is who they wanted all along. So I wouldn't consider this the third choice. I think they interviewed a lot of guys. I think they went through an exhaustive process. I don't think anybody thought seriously that Jim Harbaugh was going to leave Michigan. But he does that all the time, right?
Sure.
How many times has he threatened to leave college to come back to the NFL. But this is a big day for the Broncos. They needed to do two things in this coaching search, in this hiring of a coach. Number one, they had to hire a head coach with a track record of success because their last three hires were assistant coaches. It did not go well. They need a culture change there, and they need somebody that can come in that has experience and who has more experience that was available right now than Sean Payton. And he's a Bill Parcells disciple. He won a Super Bowl, 15 years with the Saints. Tutor Drew Brees, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's exactly what they're looking for. The other thing they needed to find was somebody who has success with quarterbacks because right now they are 100% invested in Russell Wilson. This has to work. They have spent too much money and lost too many draft picks on this. They have to figure it out. Russell Wilson has to succeed next year and beyond. So they had to bring in somebody who has a track record of being able to do that, being able to tutor a quarterback and bring a quarterback along and help them develop. And obviously what he did with Drew Brees in New Orleans is one of the great success stories in NFL history. So he checked both boxes that I think the Broncos were looking for in this process. And time will tell if it's successful. But right now, as someone who's a Broncos fan, this is exactly what they had to do. They got it done. It cost them. They have to give up their first-round pick this year. They already gave the one they owned to Seattle. But they did get one in the Bradley Chubb trade from the Miami Dolphins, but now they're giving that up too, and plus another pick as well. So this didn't come cheap. They had to pay another price for this.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
What I'm worried about. Or wondering about.
Oh, no, I don't like it.
Because you've got Sean Payton, and, you know, he won in a place in New Orleans that had no culture and had not really ever won.
No history.
I mean, that was remarkable, I think, what he did just doing that, right? And it's I think it's 1,000 times harder to win in New Orleans than it just the whole nature of the city and whatever. And Denver has had a history of success and being successful. But is it, you know, Sean Payton doesn't play on the field. And is what you're getting a culture builder and someone, a quarterback whisperer, but you're giving up multiple first-round draft choices. You're giving up second- and third-round draft choices, supposedly. And is that too much? Can he do it with kind of those restraints?
I'll be honest with you guys. I didn't think he was going to be serious about the Broncos. I didn't think that he really wanted to go there. I didn't think this was going to be – I knew that Broncos would be fortunate to get him, but why would he want to come to Denver right now? You're in a tough situation with a quarterback – who feels aloof and out of touch. And I'm not sure how you get him back and get him grounded so he can be humble enough to be coached. I'm really worried about that. I'm also concerned at how much draft capital this team has lost. And that is the heart and soul of how you build a program and you build a winner in the NFL, and they don't have that right now. So how is Sean Payton going to come in and wave a magic wand and get this thing turned around quickly? It's going to be tough. It will be helped that they have a great defense. But this offense, I don't know. It's just, keep in mind, a lot of guys last year were injured. A couple of local guys were among those guys that were hurt. Tim Patrick and Garrett Bowles, they'll be back next year. So they have a lot of guys coming back from injury. But there's a lot of things and a lot of reservations I have about the hire because of the compensation they continue to lose. Plus, I'm going to be honest about Sean Payton. How many guys in their second stint, other than, like, I'll throw out Andy Reid, really have success? Even Bill Parcells didn't, like, you know, I guess he did well at the Patriots, made it to the Super Bowl. So you're talking about the elite coaches.
Yeah, but nobody thinks about that as being
in the NFL
first
been able to do it.
Well, Bill Belichick did it.
Is Sean Payton
Cleveland.
An elite?
Yeah, but not really in Cleveland. Like, everybody, in my mind, I'm like, he wasn't even in Cleveland in my head.
Well, no,
he got the Patriots to the Super Bowl. He got the Jets close. So I throw Bill Parcells
Don
out there.
Shula did it.
The list is short. And Don, you're right. People forget he took the Colts to the Super Bowl
and lost.
Doug Peterson.
We're talking about the best of the best coaches, right?
What about Doug Peterson doing it this year? I mean, my heavens, he's turned that whole program. No, I mean we'll see. But it's interesting because Sean Payton, what's his level, you're right, of wanting to be there?
Is he as great as we think he was? You mentioned it wasn't the most difficult situation in New Orleans because the bar was low. Now it's different.
Yeah.
Now it's different.
There's a bar in Denver.
Yes, there is.
And they're saying, and that's probably why D'Amico Ryans goes, I'll take the Texans.
Heck yeah.
I'm going to go over here.
If you haven't been a head coach before, you're taking the Texans job.
Even if you didn't like the way the circumstances, how you left that place, like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But you have to feel that way if you're the Broncos. You go, look, we've tried the coordinator route, and it just hasn't worked for us.
Disaster.
It's been a bust.
It's not been a good thing. I think Sean Payton has an ability to think outside the box and get creative. And we talked about Taysom Hill earlier and what he did and saw in Taysom Hill that nobody saw. And now Taysom Hill is being a very effective player in the NFL and not just being there, but actually like thriving and being a significant part of what goes on in New Orleans. And that was Sean Payton. And he saw that. And I think that's what you're getting in Denver. You're getting a guy who can think out of the box, get creative, and just figure out how to get the best out of whomever he has and whomever he gets.
And that's exactly what they need. They need somebody to initiate and start a culture there that can now be sustained moving forward because they lost who they were in the last 6-7 years.
Yeah, reportedly, his camp is asking between, what, $15 and $20 million a year for a freaking head coach. And I know everybody goes, open up the old checkbook, Walmart. Doesn't matter to you, but
that's fair.
But like,
they can afford them.
Now, Sean Payton will set the bar for a guy like Andy Reid, who will negotiate in the future again. A guy like Doug Peterson,
Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, all these guys who re up their deal, and then you go, oh, we got to pay our head coaches now $18.5 million more than our wide receiver. Yeah. Right? Because you go, the head coaches have never pulled in this kind of money, and $20 million seems like such a crazy place that we're going with the NFL. But the money, as Scott always points out, is monopoly money, and it really is with the coaches because it has no effect on the cap. It's just whatever they want to pay them, if they can afford it, they're going to be able to do it. So that'll be an interesting way to do it as well. Hey, let's go to the schedule. The big drop, of course, here locally was the Big 12 schedule dropping. Right off the bat, I think that the winners for me were – for BYU, you get to go to Texas, which they've done before, but that Texas team that they went to in 2013 was not a great team, and BYU beat up on them there in Austin. That's going to be a fun one now with Sark down there and the whole storyline there, and Texas probably leaving early or possibly leaving early out of the Big 12 with Oklahoma. Oklahoma coming to Provo, what a freaking awesome deal that is. That stretch of going to TCU, to Texas, Texas Tech comes to Provo, and then you go to Morgantown. That is a lot of travel.
Yeah.
But that's the fun that you signed up for. And that's also getting into November when historically BYU – and their November is Oklahoma and Oklahoma State to kill things off. This is just the day everybody's been waiting for if you're a BYU fan to finally go, okay, now it feels a little bit more real.
I think there were two things that I think BYU fans wanted to know and would be excited about the schedule. I think everybody wanted to play Texas and Oklahoma before they leave, right? You wanted to see them on the schedule, and it would have been disappointing if either one or both weren't included.
That would have been wild.
That would have been really disappointing. So to have both of them on there, a chance to go back to Austin. I was at that game when Taysom, I was in the end zone when he jumped over that guy. I mean, just unbelievable. Great trip. It's always fun to go to Austin. And think about this. How long has it been since BYU has had a big-time opponent in Lavelle Edwards Stadium in November? Well, it's happening now. Welcome back to the Big 12. Welcome to the Big 12. You're going to have Oklahoma come to Provo in November. Oklahoma's never been to Provo. That's so cool. So the schedule, I mean, anything was going to be exciting, right? But to have it come out this way and to have those teams included is so much fun. And you get to go to places that you've never been before. They haven't played Texas Tech since 1940. They've never been to West Virginia. So there's a lot of new and fresh and exciting things about this. And obviously you knew that was going to be the case with the Big 12, but I think this is exactly the kind of schedule they wanted. I don't think playing Central Florida in Houston was going to be exciting. And they already played Baylor twice the last 2 years. So I think that worked out really
makes
perfect.
Sense. Well, and my father-in-law was on those two losing teams to Oklahoma State, when they played them in the – it was the Copper Bowl and I think the Citrus Bowl or the Tangerine Bowl, I guess is what they called it back then. And those were just like – I mean, Oklahoma State ran the ball 74 times in that second game. And it was like that's – college football's changed a lot. Everything's changed here. The Big 12 is going to be – I mean, Mike Gundy going down there to Stillwater to end the regular season. That is really, really cool. And I know it could have been any version of that, but Mitch Harper said something interesting when he came on with us last hour. He goes, I can make an argument for BYU starting out 5-0. And I was like, that's a lot, except for when you look at Sam Houston State and Southern Utah to start things off, you'd have to steal one down at Arkansas.
That's tough. I don't see that.
That's a really
happen.
Difficult one. And then your first two games of the Big 12 are what? At Kansas.
Yeah. Cincinnati.
And then Cincinnati at home. You could make some sort of a weird argument, maybe 4-1, but then things get really ridiculously hard after that.
So I think here's where reality is really going to start setting in is okay. So you go and get Kansas on the road. Kansas much improved, right?
Yes.
Sure. The quarterback returns. He was decent, but Cincinnati was in the college football playoff 2 years ago. that's not going to be easy. It's at home, but that's the easy part of your schedule. Kansas and Cincinnati back-to-back is the easy part of your schedule now moving forward. That's all you need to know about this transition.
I think what's hard, to your point there, is, you know, from year to year, I don't know that you know who's going to be good and who's going to be bad. Because we had a reporter from CBS Sports on, and he said, you know, when all 14 of these teams are in, you know, most of them were in a bowl game a year ago. And you look at Baylor a couple of years ago, and they won the conference, and they were kind of middle of the pack. I don't think anyone saw TCU, you know, doing what they did last year.
No.
So it looks like a lot of good teams, and maybe there isn't a, you know, maybe Texas is going to start emerging as that team with all, you know, they just always seem to get in their way, but they certainly have the talent. So with that being said, I mean, is there a realistic possibility, aside from starting out 5-0, can BYU be competitive?
I think they can. But we're going to have to see a lot of things happen with this football team next fall, because look at all the talent they lost. You lost an All-American offensive tackle. Obviously, they lost a lot on the offensive line as a whole.
Yeah.
Jaren Hall moving on. I mean, can Keaton Slovis provide similar type of production? Can he be steady? Can he take care of the football in the Big 12? He's going to have to in order for that offense to get going. Who's the receiver that's going to step up? I like the tight ends. I think they'll be fine there. Can Aiden Carter become the next star BYU running back? Is he ready for that role? And then on defense, can you get after the quarterback? Because if they can't, they're going to struggle, because everybody throws the football in this conference. And if you can't get to the quarterback, you are going to get lit up. So that has got to change. If those things are addressed and if they can happen, certainly they can compete in that league. Look, you mentioned Kansas. You know, flip a coin. Maybe they're bad next year. I don't know. Cincinnati, maybe the transition's tough for them too. West Virginia's not good. Texas Tech's not very good. So there's opportunities for wins here. I'm not
TCU's not going to have Max Duggan.
They're going to come back
to
earth
very,
a little
very
bit.
Good. Yeah.
Texas is always overrated. Oklahoma was 6-7 last year.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State is going to have to break in. You know,
Iowa State was not good.
Hey, you
last
heard it
year.
Here. Jeremiah said this conference is easy. This conference is going to be.
Yeah, that's exactly what you should take from this conversation. But my point is that while it is daunting, I'm throwing out these games that they can go get.
Why not?
Why can't they beat West Virginia? Why can't they beat Texas Tech?
They show up for big games every year anyway.
Where is Iowa State right now? I don't know.
Who knows?
I mean, so there's going to be games that are going to be had. Can they win those close games? And can they do the things I just talked about? There's going to be a lot of question marks about BYU going in the fall. Probably more question marks than we've had about that team since they went into independence back in 2011.
That's a tough place to be. You think about that in basketball and you go, hey, Tom Holmo, athletic department, let's have a little bit of – and fans – have some patience with the go with this thing, because Kalani Sitake is trying to put this thing together. It's going to take a minute. Mark Pope is, I mean, it's a very different ball game when you're talking about basketball, because the conference is not like, who are these teams? Are they going to be any good? It's like this entire freaking place. BYU might not win a game in
Oklahoma's
conference.
At the bottom of the near the bottom of the conference. They beat Alabama was ranked number two.
Two, yeah,
and they waxed them.
Killed them.
The Big 12 is and Texas Tech's in last place. Their first win was against who they beat last night. Was Iowa State.
Yeah,
Iowa State's a top 10 really team. So that conference, I mean, that's a totally different conversation. I have no idea how BYU basketball is going to be able to compete quickly in that conference. Mark they Pope's going to have to go out and get dudes.
It's going to take a minute.
Are they ever going to compete?
Oh, come on.
No. I mean,
they've got
I
the facilities. They're in the conference now. They have facilities that rival any of these other schools.
It's going to be tough because, as we know, I don't want to dig into this, but they have challenges when it comes to recruiting.
Sure.
And in college basketball. And so it's going to be tough. But on the flip side of that, they've never been in the Big 12 before. They're now in a Power 5. They're in the Big 12, so players want to play in the Big 12. So Mark Pope's going to be able to go out in the portal and say, look, come in here and help us make this transition. You're going to get play in the Big 12. You're going to get a chance to go up against other NBA prospects and prove yourself and have film against them. Come play for us. So he'll have an awesome recruiting pitch in the portal in the offseason, but they got to go out in the portal and they got to get guys that can play at that level. They don't have those guys right now.
We did the RV trip to Texas back in 2013 or 2014, whatever that year was. I always get it messed up. Let's make it this year to Morgantown. Jerry, you on board?
Do it. I'm in. I'd love to go there.
Let's go
I've
to Morgantown.
I've never been to West Virginia, so I want to cross it off my list.
I will tell you, that stadium
is... We'll wear our coonskin caps.
Yes. I'll be a mountaineer here for a day. Why not? Let's get out there. That's a long trip. It's a really long trip. JJ, thanks for coming in 2 days in a row.
Yeah, you got it.
Massive
fun.
Day of sports, and obviously you'll be able to tune in. 6 o'clock, you guys will have it all covered. 10 o'clock as well. Thanks for hanging out.
You got it.
Jeremiah Jensen, KSL5 Television. Check it out. All the biggest news, of course, that dropped today, you'll get it on TV as well. We will come back. More to go around the corner. 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Tim Lacombe, the coach, is going to join us next. Let's talk some Jazz since they've got a game tomorrow. And my heavens, it's going to be an interesting stretch here. Plus, I've got tickets to the Jazz Mavericks game for next week to give away on a Ticket Tuesday. Stay with us.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com. or wherever you get your podcasts.